Of Psalms today, Psalms 23. I have a lot of pride when it comes to my position. I love being a pastor. I love preaching. I love diving into the Word of God and giving it to you. And so every week, my sermons are not downloaded. They are raw. I study. I feel as if I go the way the Lord leads me to our people and what they need on a weekly basis. Today, on the other hand, I did not write this message. A friend of mine sent this to me this week. And in case you didn't know, our family has suffered a tragedy this past week. We lost our baby, and we had to give birth to her a little early, and she's up in heaven. So a really difficult time for us, and I have not had a lot of time to worry about y'all. I know that sounds very selfish, and I feel selfish. I know it's needful. I know it's needful for me to be home and to focus on us and my wife, but I still love y'all, and I feel a little guilty preaching somebody else's sermon, but it was a blessing to me. And this is my sermon. It's for me. And if it's a blessing to me, I hope it can be a blessing to you. In times of our distress, Psalms 23 has been a very common psalm. A lot of people request it. They request it at their funerals. They request it at their weddings. They request it in prayer. They memorize this psalm from a very young age. It's taught in VBS and in Sunday schools. I have entitled this message. Now, granted, I say this is not my message, but I have tweaked it to make it my own. The guy who sent it to me, his format was horrendous. And I could not, for the life of me, preach that sermon the way it was written. So I took pieces that I said, oh, this is good. I like this. I can preach this. I've restructured it, reorganized it so I can read it. And I hope it's a blessing to you. But I've entitled it The Song of Humanity. The Song of Humanity. If you would, please stand and we'll read this psalm together. Psalms chapter 23. It's just six verses long. And I hope that it resonates with you. Psalms 23, Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this day and the privilege to stand before your people. Lord, and as I put on a front to preach with dignity and strength, Lord, you know the hardships that we face at our house. Lord, you know the tender spirits and the broken hearts that we all have. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would shine. Lord, that you would be center stage. For you have been our anchor and our strong foundation, our higher ground in the midst of our storm. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that all the comfort that you've given us this past week, Lord, that you would give it to these folks as well. And that we would celebrate the security that's in your love. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. There was an interesting thing that I tell you, I'm going to have to trust this guy on a few things that I tell you today. And I do. Many of y'all know the individual who sent this to me. He preached revival for us not too long ago, Jason Hurt. He's a big boy. He's not as big as he once was. He's lost a lot of weight, and so I can't wait to see him again. I'm going to pick on him. But he sent this, and he says, the book of Psalms itself, 150 chapters, or 150 chapters divided into five. He says, 1 through 41 teaches on our election, our relationship with God, how he's chosen us, how he's helped us, how our, and growing this together. 42 through 72 deals with salvation. 73 through 89 deals with sanctification. 90 through 106 deals with our dedication. And 107 through 50, 150 deals with the glorification. And this is probably one of the most interesting things, because you have all these aspects of the Christian life. You have so much that it's more than just praying and reading. Amen? There's a growing process. There's a mental state. And if you ask me, one of the hardest things to preach and to convey and to pastor people is changing that mental state to a place where, oh, this is the way things are and this is how I live, to now I'm relearning a simple truth that I've never applied before, and I've lived life wrong my whole life until this present moment. Now listen, that's a difficult thing to pastor through. That's a difficult thing just to grasp, more or less, trying to force other people to see the worth that is in changing a life and a mindset in the midst of all these things. When it talks about our election, how God has chosen us, how God wants us, how he's predestined us from the very dawn of the age, he knew, he had foreknowledge, and so forth, he did predestinate us to be a part of his family. He knew, listen, this is mind-blowing to me. He knew exactly what you're going through right now before the earth was even created. Exactly. All right, let me take it a step further. Nobody's just confused just yet, so I'm going to give you something else. He knew every sin that you would commit, he still accepted. Amen. That's wondrous stuff. He knew the struggles that you were going to have in living out this Christian life, and yet he said, listen, I will be there for you. He knew every fire you were going to walk through. He knew every health difficulty that you were going to be through. He knew everything, every sin, every temptation, every failure that you've ever had, but yet God said, hey, I'm here with you.
Amen.
Listen, that, to me, that's an amazing, fascinating part of our relationship with Christ. As we read in Psalms 23, we see three different aspects, and they're simply divided. I don't know why people have focused so much on Psalms 23. I don't know if it's because it's short and it's simple. I don't know if it's easily divided into two verses apiece. But if you'll look with me, I want to divide these up inside of his hats, his characteristics, who he is as a person, the portraits, if you will. Let's look at the first one as a shepherd. In verses 1 and 2, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. It's so funny. As a pastor, I have my notes and things that he says, but I still can't get past all the other sermons I have preached. There's so much information. The one thing that has always got me from a very young age, and is my first hiccup in this, and I don't know if you start off hard and difficult, it seems like the rest of it's difficult. So in case you've never known Psalms 23, in case you've never done a study on it, let me say this. When it says, I shall not want, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not saying that I don't want the shepherd. He's not saying, I don't want the green pastures. He's not saying, I don't want the still waters. He says, I am wanting for nothing. He provides everything.
That's right.
When he says, I shall not want, he's not saying that I don't want the context or the things that are in the verse. He's saying, I am want of nothing. He is everything to me. I can do nothing on my own. He provides. He is my shepherd. He gives me everything that I would ever need. And then you get to verse 2, and I love this. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In case you didn't know, what do sheep eat? Grass. flowers, little things that grow up out of the ground. They need this food. As a matter of fact, they eat a lot. And so they are constantly in moving. So when it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture, it gives us two understandings. One, green pasture means nobody else is getting this blessing. This is your blessing. This Sunday, there may be tons of sheep in this flock, and we may be grazing in the same pasture, but that pasture is yours.
Amen.
You have sustenance here, right now. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the joyous singing of God's people helping one another. This is your pasture. You can be fed here. You don't have to worry if somebody's going to come in and take it. This is the second part, the lying down part. I've eaten so much. I'm content. I'm safe. This is a safe place where I can meet with God and I can be fed. And I can be fed to the very extent, like Thanksgiving dinner. Amen?
Amen.
It's right up there. It's one of my favorite holidays. It's, you get fed so much, you feel comfortable and safe enough to where you can rest. This is the green pasture. This is the place where we come to be safe. But secondly, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, I've never been a shepherd. I don't know these things firsthand. I can only read and learn what other people have wrote down in times past. Apparently, sheep are very skittish. As a matter of fact, and if you'd bear me to say this, sheep are very dumb. They will drown in like 2 inches of water because they don't realize that they're drowning. If they can get swept away by a current or a river, that's very little because they have no muscle mass. Matter of fact, that all they do is just live and die in a lot of aspects of it. That is it. There is nothing that they do outside of provide for us. This meat, this wool that they have, and that's it. And so as they have no defense mechanism. As they are living and doing all these things and somebody is taking care of them and providing all of their needs, listen, all they do is sit there. And so they need, and when it comes to this water, first off, we talk about food, their nourishment, the things that they need. Secondly, they also need water. But they're scared to death of noises. They're constantly aware of predators so that they can run away because they can't defend themselves. They know that, they instinctively. Now listen, I don't know if you've caught that yet, but listen, how many of you know this? You cannot defend yourself against Satan and his demons. Amen?
Amen.
There's nothing you can do. So we're constantly on edge. When we have anxiety and that God is far away, we get anxious. When we don't feel him, when we don't see him, when we don't hear the word of God, we get anxious. When it feels as if we're defenseless, and it feels like the devil is just pressing on us and pressing on us and pressing on us, we get anxious. And so the slightest thing puts us over the edge. Is it just me?
No.
I want you to hear this. I want you to know this. We're a lot like sheep in a lot of ways. They are constantly alert for danger. So that slow rumble that a running current would have puts the sheep at danger because he can't hear other things. He can still work. Something that he can control. Peace. He leads me beside the still waters. Comfort him. The shepherd who is there helping. This is our place. This is where we go. Listen, I don't get comfort from any other things, but one thing I do know and that I can rest in, if I will be put in this place where I am fed, where I am nourished, where I am protected, where I am comforted with those that are around me, and that I can be taken care of. And I know I can trust and everything that I'm doing is right and everything that my shepherd is doing is right. I can have a peaceful life. There's a couple other verses I want to bring into this from the other sections. If you'll look at verse 4 with me. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. my cup runneth over. Now for us, we read these verses and we read them as they're written. It's like, okay, well, I'm walking with Jesus through these valleys and these difficulties, and I'm sitting before this table with Jesus, and he's feeding me and he's anointing me with oil, and we put ourselves in these perspective, this picture, this perspective. Let me pause real quick and let's go back to context. We're talking about him as a shepherd. It starts off, he is my shepherd. The rod and the staff are shepherd's tools. The oil is a tool that shepherds use. He doesn't, as he's talking about these portraits, these personas, these hats that he's wearing, he doesn't leave one and go to the other. They're all intermingled. He is a shepherd first and foremost. He loves us. So I love this analogy, and I love this, and I've always thought Jesus in this, and I've never, from day one of reading this, this is one where my pastor preached on and connected with me in such a great way. We all love the shepherd's staff. Amen?
Amen.
That big old hook that he has is long. And matter of fact, every year I learn something new about the staff, about how they use it to reach over ravines to catch the sheep that's gone astray or caught in a thicket. They use it to push off all the people that are in a distant ways and to protect it. He uses it to guide the flock in a great way, a nourishing way, a little tap here and a little tap there. And it's just a very long staff, so he can reach these very long distances. Listen, it is such a comfort in knowing that staff is there. But there's also the rock. Oh, I love this. Everybody who is unchurched, everybody who is not biblically understanding of what a shepherd does, has to know this. Listen. People are different. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we're not cookie cutter people. Some of you all pretty. Most of the women. The men, not good. So, Brother George, when your eye gets better, just know it's not going to help. There's so much that we have to understand in this aspect. It's not just, hey, because this is loving, compassionate, wonderful God that likes to lead and to guide. That rod is also there for those stubborn sheep who won't listen. And listen, before I get onto this tangent, this is good to me. Oh, listen, preacher is geeking out right now. He doesn't get rid of the sheep because they're stubborn.
Amen.
Just because you think you're a bad Christian and that you're never going to cut it and you don't fit with a particular church or a flock or whatnot, God doesn't push you aside. He doesn't say you're not part of this. He just corrects you. That's what the rod is for. You guide and you help, and the rod is there for when we learn, when we go away, we go astray, we do our own thing, we get away from the safety, we get away from the shepherd. The rod is there to correct us. God is not all just rainbows and butterflies. He has feelings just like us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And he helps us. Just like a child, when we go astray, we need to get corrected. And God's willing to do that. And I'm happy he is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Not many amens there, but that's okay. Lastly, and this one fits me today. Oh, there's George. I was just talking about you. Verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." This one's interesting to me. Oil, especially in biblical times, was so important. They didn't have Band-Aids back. I know that's a shocker. They didn't have any kind of ointment. They didn't have anything that was there. They had to make their own. So what they would do is they would use oil as medicinal. So if there was an open wound, they would pour oil on it to seal it, to keep it healthy without stuff getting into it. It was the idea that if a lamb was suffering, if it was wounded, the oil was there to help preserve and to help heal that process. Listen, if you're hurting today, listen, God, it's not about guiding. And it's not about correcting. It's about healing. There's three parts to life here. And Christianity is not just a, hey, you do this, this will happen, and everything's black and white. Listen, if you need to be fed, he'll be your shepherd. If you need to be corrected, he'll pull out the rod. If you're hurting and wounded, if you need something to be fixed in your life, he'll pull out the ointment, and he will be the good shepherd. He will be the one that no matter where you are in your life, he is here for you. Let's look at the second one. Not only is our shepherd, he's our guide. Look at verse 3 and 4. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This part hit home with me. It says, or the pastor, Pastor Hurt, he said, we have one who has went before us unto death and knows the way to bring us to God. Amen. Though I walk this valley of the shadow of death. How many of y'all know Jesus has tasted that before? Amen. And he's come back. He knows that path. He knows the hurting that happens to everybody else who's not there with it. He wept at Lazarus' burial. He mourned with everybody that was there. He died, was resurrected. He has done the walk. He has done everything on the outside of it. He knows the path. He has walked it several. He is our guide. Listen, and I get it. And listen, this is a real fear and hurt that a lot of people have that we never talk about. And I want you to be really attentive here. If you've ever had this thought, I'm not afraid death. I'm afraid of dying. I know where I'm going, but getting there, that's the hard part.
Amen.
It's the suffering that entails up to that point. Listen, Jesus knows. He'll guide us.
That's right.
He's been there. He has suffered. He has had everything thrown at him. He knows everything on a personal detail, and he is willing to walk us through that path. Listen, there should be no fear in regards to this truth. Listen, I want you to listen. If you're scared of dying, if you're scared to death, I get it. I understand it. But with Jesus' help, we can overcome that. I'm not saying that you will overcome that. There is a lot of godly Christian people that I have seen leave from this world to the next that were fearful of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know where I'm going. They didn't lose hope, but it was just scary. I get it, and I understand it. But if you can bring solace to your life with this one understanding, hold this and put it in your pocket. He is my guide. He has tasted death, and he knows the way, and he will help me. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One little illustration, and I'll move up to my last point. Yeah, I've preached this before, and it's kind of hard for me not to preach it again. But one of my favorite ideas is this, and I think every young boy does this on occasion. We go on hikes with our dad. We go hunting with them. We go out in the woods. We go camping. And you get to a place where things are a little treacherous. Well, we might slip, we might fall, we might go into this idea that something dangerous has happened. And I'll never forget one particular time, and some of you will either find humor at this and laugh about it on the way home, and for you, I pray God helps you out a lot. Because you're not that. My dad, we lived in South Alabama my whole life, and we'd always go down to Panama City. We'd go out to the beaches, and everything was gorgeous. It was low tide, and my dad wanted to walk on the sandbar. So it was just this long, low tide where you could walk on it. I couldn't swim, and I'm not the best swimmer now. I think I could live for about 3 minutes treading water. But I remember, I told Dad, I said, Dad, I'm scared. And you ever, where your voice is leaving you? Like that.
go by, and I'm stepping everywhere. He's stepping. Everything's, you know, working out great. My poor dad. He didn't realize that his steps were bigger than mine. He stepped right over a hole. Now listen, I'm less than 11. I'm probably 6, 8 years old. And so I'm walking, and I'm looking back at Mom, and I'm waving, and I'm like walking on water. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I step in this hole. It's like a sinkhole, just whoop. I mean, it made that sound, you know, whenever, whoop. And I go straight down. I can't swim. I'm panicking. And I start grabbing, and the only thing I can grab, and how many of y'all know wet sand does not hold very well? And so I'm like filling this hole with wet sand. I'm gasping for air. I'm like, salt water's getting in my lungs. Y'all, it'd be surprising if I ever go to the beach again after this. I mean, it is awful. I'm literally dying. And my dad comes over and picks me up. Now, granted, my dad's not as fancy as our Lord is. I told you, step where I'm stepping. That's what he said. I tell you, it's funny, as a kid, we always remember the parts. And until we're older and then we remember something else, he carried me all the way back to where I was sick. Though I walked through this valley, it was dangerous, and I may fall. Though I go through these hardships and these difficulties, I know that my God will never let me fall. I may be hurting and scared for a moment, but I know that I can find peace in his arms. It's just going to take me getting through this for a second. And granted, nobody is clawing at the walls and gasping for air and saying, oh, praise the Lord, this is just a wonderful time. Nobody does that. You're a sick human being if you do. It's okay to be sick. It's okay to have these fears, but also know that Jesus is going to come in time. Hey. He's going to help you. He loves you. He wants to be there for you. Last two verses and we're done. Not only is Jesus our shepherd, he's our guide, he's also our host. Verses 5 and 6, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As a host, he's the provider of everything that we would ever need. We see that he, in this entirety of the psalm, he is a provider of the physical man. He says, I shall not want. He is the provider to the spiritual needs of ourselves. He restoreth my soul. And in these last two verses, in verse 6, it tells us he is there in our present. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As I live, as I breathe, God is going to be there for me. But not only is God our host in our present, he's also going to be our host in the future. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now listen, verse 5 means a lot. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I don't know how many of y'all go through life and thinking that you just can't catch a break. It seems like everywhere you turn, there's an enemy. There's a hardship. There's a difficulty. I think that when we read stuff like this, we focus so much on, thou preparest the table before me. God is so bountiful. God is so wonderful. God is such a great host. But then we forget to recognize the content. In the context of, he says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. In the midst of my difficulties, you're there. Amen. Now, I don't know how sitting at the table with your enemies translates in today's culture. In biblical culture, you ate with your enemies to put everything under the table. God says, I prepare a table before mine enemies, he's saying, he's like, they may be my enemies now, but God's trying to not make them my enemies in the future.
Amen.
It's an incredible context. It's an incredible thing once you recognize that my life may be in difficulty. It may be in a riot. It may be in the presence of my enemies now, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be that way tomorrow. God is working some great things.
Living life can just be scary at times, and we may not have all the answers. I can't speak to the valleys of others, but I can speak to the valleys of my own. We've gone through this valley a time before. In our house, we've lost another baby. Y'all were here for that as well. It's not easy. I appreciate all the food, all the cards, all the phone calls. Y'all are some amazing people. I love this church. And let me tell you why I love this church. It's because I know that I'm not special. Y'all have done this for everybody else who's gone through hardships too. Oh, and I have such a bleeding heart for y'all. I want to be like you. I want to call people when they're hurting, and I want to write cards, and I want to give meals. I want to be able to make lasagna like y'all do, and chicken pot pie. I tell you, there's so much. I know that I'm not in this alone. But for the people, for those of us that are here today that we don't know what that feels like, I want you to see something with me. It says that he'll be there with us. We have this Savior who knows what it's like to suffer, to walk through this valley. He knows what and how death is to us and to those that we love. There's a few verses that I want to talk about too, and then we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16 says this: For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted alike as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. I love that verse. I constantly think about, I know that God resonates with all people at all times. I know what God knows. I know that God knows what it's like to lose a child. He lost his only begotten son. So I know. I can't ever say I'm alone. I can't ever go up to somebody and say, you don't know what it's like. I know that my story is going to be different than every other story, but I also know that God is going to comfort in my need. And I like this one. And I want you, write it down. Make it a part of your life if you can. Hebrews chapter 34, or I'm sorry, Hebrews, Psalms. Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Listen, we're doing our best to live for Jesus now. Amen? That doesn't mean that we get a free pass in this life. Just because we're good people, just because we're righteous, just because we have the blood of Jesus on our life, doesn't mean that we get a free pass in this life. Matter of fact, if you would just connect with me on this one thing, because you bear the blood of Christ in your life, that makes you a target. Because you claim the righteousness of Christ on your life, because you put Jesus front and center, because you sing praises to his name, the devil hates it. And he wants to quiet us. He wants to hurt us. He wants to silence us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Every night, there's a horizon. There's a sun coming up.
pushed away on by surgery. God spoke